Welcome on into the 8 o'clock hour. It is Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, halfway home with you on a beautiful Friday summer evening in the great city of Atlanta and the great state of Georgia. Going to chat with Taryn Walk of AtlantaFalcons.com here in just a second to get her perspective on all things Dirty Birds as the first day of camp is underway. And we'll see what happens with this if you missed it. The Falcons made an interesting signing today. They signed wide receiver DJ Chark. Now, in my opinion, this could be for one of two reasons. One could be they just want some more wide receiver depth, and that's something I've been talking about all offseason. They could probably use another guy. Is it a glaring need? No. But door number two is a lot less satisfying one, and that would be that they feel that Darnell Mooney has a chance to miss some time, and they need to make sure they have a competent guy in there who can take his place. Now, Chark, ironically, very similarly to Mooney, has had some flashes in the NFL, had one big season, and has never really put it together since. So interesting enough that that's the player that they choose to bring in as a potential replacement for Mooney if it is something long-term. To discuss all that and more, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our friend Taryn Walk of AtlantaFalcons.com. Taryn, before we get into the Chark signing from today, what was your experience of day one at camp? What were the highlights? Who stood out to you?
Hi. Yes, day one of camp yesterday. Gosh, I can't believe it. Training camp is already here. But overall, it was really good to be back. I think Kyle Pitts stood out to me the most, which I think a lot of people has said also. I put that in my camp report. It was just good to see him doing a little bit of everything because you saw him taking a lot of reps from Michael Penix Jr. But then later on in practice, normally when he hangs out with like Drake London, Bijan Robinson, and the quarterbacks in the middle of the field while special teams is going on, this time he was over on the side with his position coach, Kevin Koger, working on his blocking. So that's something I clocked and really appreciated seeing both sides of his game being worked on already in the first practice.
Were you surprised that Michael Penix Jr.'s comments to open his presser about saying how he got the ball to Pitts? Did y'all like that?
I love it. I think it was intentional, but because I think Michael Penix Jr. is a very smart guy and he doesn't just say things to say things. But it makes me curious about what's to come, whether or not that's going to continue throughout training camp and what that's going to mean for the season.
All right. So a couple of things did happen off the field of note. Troy Anderson starts the season on the PUP list. What does that mean for the linebacker room and the rotation? And then today we find out that they signed DJ Chark. Is that a curious signing in your opinion as it relates potentially to Darnell Mooney?
Troy Anderson is obviously a bummer. You hate to see anyone get injured, especially someone who has dealt with injuries for a majority of his professional career so far. And that doesn't mean he won't play this season. Torrey McElhinney wrote out all the details when it comes to PUP requirements on AtlantaFalcons.com when that news came out and I was in Raheem Morris's press conference. And so, but who knows where that's going to go? We can only wait and see. But for the room itself, that just is going to keep Caden Ellis in the spotlight. But at the same time, it's going to put an even bigger light on Divine Diablo, who was signed, I believe, to kind of fill that role opposite of Caden Ellis, because you never really knew Troy Anderson's health status, whether he was going to make it through a whole season. Obviously, you hope so, but you don't know. You can't guarantee anything like that. So now you'll have Caden and Divine, but that also leaves kind of a void, say, if something were to happen to one of those two, which you don't want. Again, nobody wants anyone to ever get injured. But maybe that allows JT Bertrand to build off of what he did in his rookie season.
All right. So when it comes to now the state of the wide receiver room, did you see the play where Mooney got injured yesterday? And if so, what did you think of it?
I saw the play itself. I did not see him leave, though, because I was clocking all the different passes being thrown, and it was a deep shot down the right side, and Mooney was heading toward the sideline in double coverage, and I could see it looked like he was going to catch it, but he had a dive to get it, and then he dropped it and went down. Upon the ball bouncing out and whatnot, I looked away, so I missed him walking off. Tori caught it because she was closer to the action. I was further down the sideline, like more so toward the quarterback. So I missed that moment, but he walked off on his own, everyone has said, and saw. So we don't know the severity, if at all. Like, he might not even be injured. He could have just had the wind knocked out of him. We don't know anything because Raheem Morris spoke before practice, and so we haven't gotten any type of update. So when it comes to today's report of the signing of DJ Chark, you can't say it's a tit-for-tat kind of thing. You can't say it's one-for-one. Not yet. Maybe we'll get more news on Mooney tomorrow. But right now, you can't say one or another. And I heard you before I came on the call about how the wide receiver room does need more depth. It's not a necessity, but it would be nice. And I think this signing, regardless of Mooney's status, helps with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just something, again, that I was noting, Taryn, as we're talking to Taryn Walk of AtlantaFalcons.com, that, yeah, I mean, they definitely have pieces, and Mooney and Ray-Ray McCloud, Kadarrell Hodge, if he gets in the mix, that could step up. But, you know, they could certainly use as much help there as they can get. All right, when it comes to something I'm very interested in, how did Caleb McGarry look moving in your opinion yesterday? Listen, I know no pads and no collisions, but at the same time, did he look fluid to you? Is this something you think is going to be an easy transition for him?
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. And we also talked to him after practice, where the injury that kept him out during the off-season program is completely healed. And even back during that time frame, Raheem Morris was saying they were just being abundantly cautious. They just wanted to be super careful during that time period, because I don't want to say the off-season program didn't matter, but when it comes to veterans, it's less of an importance as it was, say, rookies or people who are trying to make the roster and the people who are trying to cultivate depth. That's why during the off-season program, you always saw the second team during 11-on-11 work rather than the first team. So when it comes to Caleb now during training camp, it's just kind of him building back in and getting comfortable since he didn't have the off-season program. But he said he felt better than ever, and it was something that he finally kind of nipped in the bud this off-season.
How soon or not do you expect Billy Bowman and Xavier Watts to get reps in with the first team on defense?
I think it's going to be sooner than later, because we are already seeing Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. taking reps with the first team. And yes, they're completely different players, but Raheem Morris has emphasized repeatedly this offseason how he wants the rookies to make a difference immediately in this defense. And in order to do that, they have to get reps in training camp, because when it comes to the season, that's not when you want to start learning things. You want to start learning things now so you're comfortable and confident later down the road.
How deep do you think the defensive line rotation is going to be? Specifically,
D-tackle. Even just watching the defense in practice the other day, they kept rotating bodies. I couldn't keep up with keeping, like, all the different lineups. I was like, well, all right, they're rotating. There's a lot of guys that they just keep putting in and out, plugging and chugging, and I think they're trying a bunch of different combinations, and now's the time to do it. Now's the time to see who works well with each other. And that's not to say it's going to be one lineup at a time. I think it is a mix and match based on how players are going to be feeling, who gets fatigued quicker, who has more burst with shorter time or can last longer. It's going to be a mix of things in that way, but it has been really fun to see perhaps more guys than usual get reps.
If they're going to keep a third running back, who are some of the guys that have a chance to make the squad?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's honestly one I've been asking myself. I'd like to see Carlos Washington get an opportunity, because we've seen him, I think this is the third training camp in a row where I've seen him get a lot of reps in training camp. I mean, yes, it's only been one practice again this year, but I remember last year being like, Carlos Washington is getting a lot of reps. And I think even the year before, if I think back, I have a terrible memory. If I think back, Carlos Washington was a story even then. So I could see him being in that same load again, but there is still opportunities for the other two also. But right now, he's who I have my eye on behind Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier.
Same question about the tight end room. If there was to be somebody else besides Warner and obviously Kyle Pitts, do you think there's even an option on this roster right now?
I think there is, but it's going to take time to see who stands out. I like how we're already focusing so much on Kyle Pitts because that gives me confidence to see, like, there might be more of an elevated role. I don't know. It's what we're seeing, again, only in day one. It's still too soon to say. But maybe they're thinking Penix can build a relationship with Pitts that allows him to kind of maybe go back to his rookie form, or maybe not to that extent, but better than what he has been doing in recent years. He's also in a contract year, so that might light a fire under him. Not that he needs motivation, but there's always like other factors that factor into what drives a player. And then you have Charlie Warner, who I think entering his second season with the Falcons could have more of an elevated role. Hey, he caught a pass yesterday. And I was like, there's Charlie. And AtlantaFalcons.com just did a huge project on him. Homegrown, you should go check it out if you haven't. There's an amazing video, two photo galleries, and then a story from myself. So Charlie Warner is front of mind at the moment.
Yeah, and obviously he's really good at what they brought him in to do mainly, which is be sort of that extra offensive lineman guy that can help chip and help block when Michael Penix Jr. is dropping back. Speaking of which, how many tweaks, how many changes do you expect from Zach Robinson in year two with Michael Penix Jr. as the full-time starter as opposed to Kirk Cousins?
That's a great question. I think it opens the playbook up a little more just because they were limitations with Kirk Cousins coming off of that injury before he came to Atlanta. But now with Penix, I think they got a sprinkling of what he's able to do last season with those final three games. And it's kind of like, okay, what can we build from there? And even in his press conference the other day, Penix was like, whatever Zach tells me to do, I'm going to do it. Just call it up. And there's that like calm confidence about him where it kind of does give Zach some liberty to have some fun with the playbook.
All right, Taryn, before I let you go, if you had to predict crystal ball style, do you think Kirk Cousins speaks again during camp? Or do you think the press conference he did a couple of weeks ago is going to suffice?
Ooh, I think he will. I know media can make requests, so I'm sure someone will be bound to ask for Kirk Cousins at some point. And because of how he's handled this situation so far, going back to even last season, where when there was the quarterback change, Kirk Cousins made sure to have a press conference and address the matter, and he did so like a professional. Regardless of his feelings on the matter, he did what he was supposed to do, and he spoke to the media and addressed a situation that probably wasn't exactly comfortable. And then it was the same thing in the offseason program, where I don't know the ins and outs of like what is required, who is required to speak, when, yada, yada. That's not my department. But Kirk Cousins still came out and spoke to the media and showed support toward Michael Penix Jr. And Penix did the same thing, vice versa. So I think there's a professional level respect there that if his name is called or requested, he'll speak. But again, I don't know. That's out of my hands.
Yeah, but unfortunately for all of us as well. All right, Taryn, appreciate the time. As always, we'll be reading you at AtlantaFalcons.com as camp rolls on, and we'll chat again soon.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Taryn Walk of AtlantaFalcons.com. When we get back, Drake London was on the station today with Andy and Randy, or Morning Shift, or Andy and Randy, Oren, help me out. Where was Drake London on today? Morning Shift. Okay, so we'll let you hear that interview coming up with Mike and Squid and Allie and the gang on the Morning Shift. What did RWR1 have to say about the 2025 season? We'll let you hear that when we get back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.